Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning for your faithfulness, Lord, and thank you that we can gather in your name. Thank you that you have given us the gift of prayer, Lord, and we would want to use that gift this morning, Lord, and not misuse it through lack of prayerfulness, Lord. And so guide us. We just want to worship you for a few moments this morning and look at another prayer in the Bible. And so much we can learn from each of these prayers, Lord. So lead us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're into 2 Samuel today and a great, great, wonderful praise prayer. Another one. If you didn't get the praise prayer last week from Hannah, and I was just wondering how many of you really took time this week, this last week, to have at least one pure prayer of praise without filling it with all kinds of requests. I was listening to a tape the other day, and I was challenged because the speaker said, when was the last time you spent 30 minutes uninterrupted just thanking Jesus? And I thought about that, and I thought, I never have done that in my entire life. So I went out and did it. And when you do that, as you probably know if you've done it, you end up that 30 minutes closer to him than you started. And it's a little bit hard to just keep thanking him for 30 minutes without getting into some requests. But we have a praise prayer this morning, and the bottom line is with David, he's just blown away. He just says, O Lord God, O Adonai Yahweh. He says it 9 times in this prayer. And, you know, when David is at a loss of words, you know that's really something. But it's the main theme of that prayer is praise and thanksgiving to God for how great he is. Well, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 7 today in the prayer of David's thanksgiving to God. And in the preceding immediate chapters, David has been made king of all Israel. He has moved from Hebron after 7 years of reigning there to Jerusalem. And the Philistines have been defeated. David's been following the Lord, listening to the Lord, and the Lord's been blessing mightily. David decides to bring the ark from the house of Obed-Edom into Jerusalem, and of course we know the story there. The first time he tried to do it man's way with an ox cart, and it didn't work very well, and one of the guys got killed for touching the ark, but then later he brought it in the right way, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. When he gets into Jerusalem and everybody's blessed with that particular time, it came to his heart that God is living in a tabernacle, in an old tent, in a sense, and I'm living in a cedar house. Something isn't right with this picture. I want to build God a house. So he got a hold of his prophet seer, Nathan, and said, I want to build God a house. And Nathan said, wonderful idea. Go for it, David. That's not exactly in your Bible, probably, but that's, I think, about what he said. And then that night, God spoke to Nathan and said, you spoke too soon. David's got bloody hands. He's a man of war. He cannot build my house. But I will have his son build me a house. And more importantly, I will build him a house that'll last forever. And so in verse 8 of chapter 7, we have the covenant that God made with David at this point. Here's what you shall tell David, Nathan. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, what a low beginning, right? To be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I have been with you wherever you have gone and cut off all your enemies from before you and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord Yahweh tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul when I removed from before you, whom I remove before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. So what an awesome covenant, right? And here David now is just blown away. And we have this prayer of thanksgiving that we have recorded beginning in verse 18. Then King David went in to the tabernacle, set before the Lord. That word set can be translated and spent time meditating. It does not necessarily mean physically sitting, although it could mean that. Some people get all, they want to connect the prayer so importantly with the position of the body, and I think there is a position of reverence. It's always good, but this doesn't mean necessarily he was sitting down, although he may have. And oftentimes men would pray kneeling. Oftentimes they would pray standing. Sometimes prayed with their hands outstretched, as we'll get shortly a little later on in Solomon's dedicatory prayer to the temple, for the temple. But then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Adonai Yahweh?" O Adonai Yahweh, he repeats 9 times in this prayer. O Lord God, O Lord God, O Lord God, O Lord God. And what is my house? What is my house that you've brought me this far? And you know, we're all, as believers, kings and priests, right? Does not that fit us as well? What is our house that he has given us as kings and priests? Even as David would say here, "I was a shepherd. You brought me out of the sheepfold, and look what you've done for me." And the same for each of us, what we were before Christ, the lowest of the low, and now he's raised us up to be an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a king and a priest. But who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? I think that's a good question for each of us. And yet this was such a small thing in your sight, O Adonai Yahweh, and you also have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And of course it's not. Now, what more can David say to you? Now, this is amazing. David was the most articulate man probably that we have recorded in the Bible. And if you want to just spend some time in any of the Psalms that he's written, you're so moved by them because he has a way with words. Of course, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. We recognize that. But nevertheless, he is a spokesman for the Lord. He was called the friend of God. Not a friend of God. That was Abraham. I'm sorry. A man with God's own heart. But here he's speechless. He doesn't know what to say. Now, what more can David say to you? For you, Adonai Yahweh, know your servant. For your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you've done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Adonai Yahweh, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Question. Do you have any other gods in your life? I'm sure you would all agree with that statement, that our God is great and there's no other God besides him. But do you have other gods, lesser gods, that you're serving, such as pleasure, such as maybe provision, such as maybe whatever? Do we have any others besides him? We're to have no other ones besides him. Verse 23, and who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make for himself a name and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. For you have made your people Israel, your very own people, what's the next word? Forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. We've spoken before a little bit about Israel being the wife of Jehovah. That's what the scriptures tells us. We're the bride of Christ, but Israel as a nation has a position of being the wife of Jehovah. And for years, the church incorrectly interpreted the scriptures of replacing Israel with the church, saying Israel had sinned, they were no longer in the loop, all the promises for Israel in the future really go to the church, But they did a very selfish thing in the other way. They said, but all the judgments apply to Israel, but all of the goodies apply to the church. Well, that's not what this says. He's going to have his covenant with Israel forever. And so Israel has a plan, a part of God's plan, not because they're great, but because he is their husband, and he is going to establish them forever. And you, Yahweh, have become their God. Now, O Adonai Yahweh, well, now here we got it the other way around. Now, O Yahweh Elohim, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever. The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this greatness to your servant. I think it's always good in prayer, to quote Scripture, always good in prayer to stand on the promises of God, right? When we're praying in accordance with God's will, we know we have the answers that we ask. And when we pray in God's will, I think our hearts become aligned with God's will, and we become usable as a tool, so to speak, in God's will to see it be done as he would work through man on earth, at least partially work through man on earth. But here we have, your words are true, you are God, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. Awesome prayer, thanksgiving and praise. You can go back to 1 Samuel and spend some time in Hannah, the blessed woman's praise. Last week we had that praise psalm, and here's another one. So if you're a little dry in your prayer, just get your Bible out and read through this with understanding and reverence, and just let the Lord know that you agree how great he is. Father, we thank you for this prayer of thanksgiving and praise. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for the prayers in the Bible. And we thank you that you've given us the ability to pray to you. And this morning, Lord, we just want to unite our hearts in one accord as led by your Spirit and pray whatever you put on our hearts to pray. And Lord, may these few moments be redeemed as we gather together, knowing the effectiveness of prayer, not because of our great faith, but because of your great faithfulness. Lead us now in this time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.